Back in here live, hour number two here on a Tuesday edition of Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Nick Braden, D-Mace, Marquise, Titans trade deadline today, 3 o'clock Central. And then tonight, Predators, Blackhawks, 7 o'clock puck drop at Bridgestone Arena. Of course, you can hear it right here on 102.5 The Game. Pre-game coverage gets underway at 6 o'clock. But Derek Mason, it is Tuesday. It is shortly after 7 o'clock, which means it's Top 4 Tuesday.
Top 4 Tuesday! There we go. We ready, boys. I'm going to throw a monkey wrench in the show.
What, really?
Yeah, you're going to throw another another undeserving Big Ten team in the top four?
A monkey wrench in the show.
How'd that Wisconsin pick work out for you?
What are you going to give us? They were the fourth ranked team at the time.
What are you going to give us? Indiana this week? Rutgers?
Hey, Indiana's
it could be Minnesota. Row the boat, baby.
Indiana's bowl eligible,
by
the way.
It could be SMU.
Here's a question for you guys.
Appalachian State.
Real quickly, on the Minnesota thing, because they're undefeated. They will play Penn State, who's also undefeated. They're on bye this week, both of them, but they're playing in Minneapolis.
I got Minnesota.
Did you guys see PJ Fleck taking 6 minutes of his press conference to openly campaign for game day to come to Minneapolis? And he's like, listen, y'all can go to LSU Bama every single year. It doesn't matter. Come how many times can you ever say that you're going to go watch an 8-0 Minnesota team? Game day has never been to the Twin Cities. They've had a Super Bowl and a Final Four. He made really good points. Like, his whole thing is game day is about going to special, unique places, right? It's going
to
be in Memphis.
Yeah, they're going to Memphis.
They're
going to
be in Memphis this week for the SMU game.
Teammates won't go to Memphis, but game day will.
Yeah, exactly.
If I see them in Minneapolis instead of in Tuscaloosa, I'm not watching.
No, I see.
I am not watching. I'm going to ban them from my television set.
That's fine. You'll be the one that's not watching then. Because
there'll be a whole bunch of people. A whole bunch of Alabama fans won't watch. LSU fans.
They went to North Dakota State, right, last week?
Yeah, Jack Rabbits and Bison. You got
to
go.
They went to Western Michigan, Kalamazoo, when P.J. Fleck was coaching at Kalamazoo for the biggest game of the match. The whole point of game day is to go to and tell unique stories. Like, that's the whole point. You literally can go to Tuscaloosa literally any week of the season
but
and get
literally
a big game.
You're not going to find two undefeated teams like this.
Well, literally Minnesota and Penn State are undefeated. They're both undefeated,
Who want to watch Penn State in Minnesota?
It's not about watching the game.
You were the Big Ten guy.
I am, I don't want to watch them when Alabama and LSU is up
not,
on the docket.
Derek, game day is not about watching the game that they are at.
Game day is about Tom Rinaldi giving a heartwarming story.
I want my
story.
Wife to cry.
Yes.
I don't want to see them in Minneapolis with a bunch of coats on and hats and
Desmond will be dressed like he's going ice fishing.
Absolutely. And I don't want to see all of that,
he made the great case. I think he invited 4 million people to game day, P.J. Fleck, in his press conference. He said there's 4 million people.
Keep rolling about P.J. Fleck.
ESPN, it'll make sense.
It
would be Minnesota and Penn State on the ESPN, and then the SEC Nations on the SEC Network can go to Alabama, LSU. That brings more eyes on that product.
And how many times have they been to Tuscaloosa? Like a million times. So, they've never been to Minneapolis, ever. His points are valid. Here's my problem. I don't think America is ready for P.J. Fleck and James Franklin to be on the same car lot. I don't think America's ready for that.
There.
That is too much shtick in one place.
Yeah. Plus, I don't want that old man wearing that Big Al helmet either. So
I don't want him putting on a gopher helmet. You know,
he's not going to pick the gophers. He'll pick He'll pick the
no.
New
he
lines.
Will pick the gophers again. I'm promising.
Who cares
what
Lee Corso picks? Who cares?
You got to call him what Herbie calls
Lee Corso,
him. You got to call him LC.
Even though LC is half the time don't know, I love LC. Okay,
once a year you're good for an F bomb.
Hey,
I love that.
F it.
What you call it? Does a great job. It kind of
Herbie grabs his arm.
Yeah, Herbie does a great job at kind of edging. Hey, just kind of. I'm gonna help
he
you.
He always
out.
Like points at the paper.
Yeah,
like,
I'm gonna
points,
help you out here.
He goes, hey, coach, look at the paper, and then he grabs his arm and Lee's
here
like,
it is, here it is right
Lee's
here.
Like, well, Florida's played Tennessee 52 times.
Hey, sweetheart, not so fast.
All right, we shouldn't make fun of a guy who's had like 3 strokes.
He's the man. If they ever get rid of him, I'm gonna go nuts.
No, I think they need to, but that's just me. Anyway, I thought that was interesting that he openly campaigned for like 6.5 minutes during his press conference to get game day to come to Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Just so y'all can lay an egg. I don't want to see that.
All right, let's get top four Tuesday going. I'll go first.
Don't be dumb.
Here we go.
Don't be dumb.
There's no reason to be dumb here. This is
just
layup
right,
city.
Do the right thing, Nick.
LSU number one. Ohio State number 2, Alabama 3, Clemson 4, Penn State on the outside looking in at 5.
Penn State has no business being in the top 4. I don't. This is the first week of the season that I think the top 4 in what order are you, whatever order you want them to be in. I don't really mind the order. You can argue any of these teams for number 1. But that the order isn't as important. To me, this is the first week of the year where it's a clear four, and you can't really make a case, and I know Derek's about to try, that you cannot really make a case for a team outside of the top 4. You can't make a case for Georgia. You can't make a case for Florida. You can't make a case for Oklahoma. You can't make a case. Penn State's the only undefeated, really, that's even in the conversation. It's hard to make a case for them. They haven't looked extremely dominant in any way, shape, or form over anybody. So it's really hard to make a case for anybody outside of LSU, Alabama, Clemson, and Ohio State. Those 4. My order is probably a little different than everybody else's. I still have Alabama at number 1. I've got Clemson at number 2. I've got LSU at number 3, and I've got Ohio State at 4. There's really not they're all basically even. They're all elite teams. I'm assuming Tua is playing. I'm assuming he's back at practice this week, so I'm assuming I'm counting Alabama with Tua when I do that. You could argue Ohio State number 1. You could argue LSU number 1. You could argue Clemson number 1. You can make a case for all these teams, but it's hard to make a case, Derek, for any team outside of those 4 to be in the top 4.
Yeah, say what y'all want
to say.
We as a show do agree that we base this off of neutral field, who would play who would win.
I don't base mine on
no.
I don't.
So you're going resume?
It's based on whatever you want.
I don't base it on.
Well, what are you basing yours on?
I don't base it on.
That's how Braden and I do it.
Yeah, and I think that's just unfair. I mean,
well, no, I follow the rule of the committee.
I base it upon what I've seen. Who you've played, I can't say, well, if Alabama and LSU play on a neutral field, who would win? No. Well, they do play. That's good. But I can't say, well, I think Alabama will win or I think LSU will win. So that's why I'm going to put them ahead. No. If they don't play, I can't base the determination upon that. So my thing is, I take that out.
Well, so and just to make sure people are clear, I do my rankings based on what the committee's job is. The committee's mission statement is the 4 best teams in America. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So whatever you think the 4 best, however the process is in your mind individually, how you get to that point, that's what I do. The charge of the committee, the mission statement of the committee is the 4 best teams in America. So I try to rank the best team, followed by the second best team, followed by the third best team, followed by the fourth best team. And that's based on everything. That's based on resume. That's based on how good I think the players are, you know, the experience, the coaching staff, the talent level. Like, I take everything into account. Metrics, eye test, everything. And I try to say who's the best. I think Alabama right now is the best team in America with Tua healthy. I think Clemson's number 2. I think LSU's number 3. I think Ohio State's 4. I don't have a problem if you rotate those names around. What I have a problem with is if you put a different team in that top 4.
Yeah, that's just your problem. That's a you problem, not a Derek's problem. Here it is, and I'm going to lay this out quickly, why I'm doing what I'm doing. And again, just like I had Wisconsin, 4, it changed the week after. It didn't matter because they lost. Or I had another team. It didn't matter. They lost or won. So quickly.
I say this is a big buildup. I say we deliver this after the
because
break.
There's a lot here.
This is a lot. Yeah, you need some time.
And I'm going to have people just falling out of their cars, literally driving. And they're going to get so upset.
Well, now you have to tease it.
Yeah.
Well, if you're on your way to Smyrna on 24, you could legitimately fall out of your car because the road's just bumpy as hell. So stick around.
I'm used to that in my neighborhood, too.
Exactly.
So I got something for you. All right.
Oh, can't wait.
It's going to make your head explode.
Good. I need a good explosion. D-Mace coming up with his 4 next on Morning Drive. Top 4 Tuesday, college football. It is Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5, the game. So last segment, Braden and I gave our top 4s. I go LSU, Ohio State, Bama, Clemson in that order. Braden, you went what order?
I've got Bama, Clemson, LSU, Ohio State. But again, I think all 4 of them are basically even at this point.
Okay. D-Mace, the floor is yours. Heads are ready to explode. There's actually cars pulled over on 24 right now as we speak.
Oh,
on the
my
shoulder.
Goodness. That's what I like, man. To pull over right now because I don't want you to crash
and then send us
on
tweets.
My account. And then send me tweets, please, telling me how crazy I am.
Derek won't read them, but it's all good.
Yeah, I'm not going to read them, but curse I don't mind.
I'm not going to read them.
Okay. Number one. All right. I got LSU. They've hands down has proven to me that they are the best team.
Got the best resume
in college football, and they will be better. They will better prove it, further prove it when they beat Alabama in Tuscaloosa in
which,
2 weeks.
Which you've been saying since
it started.
Yep,
I was saying in the SEC media days. Okay, that's so true. They're number one. O State 2, Bama 3. To me, it doesn't matter with those three. I mean, if you want to argue, well, no, Alabama's number one. It doesn't matter to me. Alabama won if you want to make them number one. Ohio State three. I think those three teams have proven they should be in the top three. Whatever order you want to put them in, that's your deal. I would agree, disagree. It don't matter to me. So LSU, O-State, Bama. And y'all know how much I love Bama. So putting them at number three is just, you know, it hurts my heart. But I don't know if Tua's going to play. So there you go.
Tell me why you think Clemson sucks.
I don't think Clemson sucks. I think Clemson is a good football team. But here's the deal. And I'm not saying that I'm not putting Clemson at four or whatnot. I'm not saying anything. But here's the deal. Resume. Georgia Tech, Texas A&M, they were 12 at the time. Syracuse, Charlotte, UNC, Florida State, Louisville, Boston College.
Louisville and Florida State aren't bad.
No, they're bad, man. No, they're bad.
Louisville
has
a winning record.
They're bad teams. And this one is really not that much better, but okay. Idaho, Buffalo, Pittsburgh, Maryland, Purdue, Iowa, and Michigan. They handled they were in control of every game they played in.
That's true.
And they beat Michigan State in a rain-filled day, but they basically owned Michigan State at Sparty Stadium. So, with that being said, to me, and this is just this week, because it can change, the problem that I have I have problems with both teams. I wish Oklahoma hadn't lost and it'd be a lot easier. I just throw Oklahoma at four. But the problem I have with Clemson is that the ACC, they're just down, period.
But what does that mean? Like,
they don't have
right.
Any competition, man. Right. And it's just like.
But that's why they're winning by 40, whereas Penn State's winning by 7.
But at least Penn State, they've had to play, you know, Iowa's ranked. Purdue.
Michigan.
Michigan was
Purdue's
ranked.
Terrible. But Michigan's,
you know,
ranked.
They've had to play teams. They've had to come into games where they knew if they didn't play their A game, they were going to lose. I don't think Clemson walked into any game thinking that, okay, we're going to lose this game. They came close to losing against UNC,
yeah.
And that's probably why they came close to losing to UNC, is because they walked in there thinking like,
but
hey, we got this game, we're going to win.
If that's the case, that's all true.
Uh-huh.
But if that's the case, then a 5-point win over Iowa is not playing well. An 8-point win over Pittsburgh is not playing well.
But
a 7-point win over Michigan, where you had a huge lead, is not necessarily playing well.
But you beat these ranked
State.
Teams. And it's just this week, because next week it could change. Penn State got to play Minnesota in a couple of weeks. If they beat Minnesota, then they really got an argument for staying in that top four with anybody based upon their resume on ranked teams that they have played and beat. So to me, it's close. But I'm putting Penn State at four, Clemson at five. I'm still having Oklahoma at six. I think that loss doesn't hurt to me. It doesn't hurt as bad.
Yeah, I dropped them from 5 to 7. I still think Oklahoma is
I think they're
really
a top.
Yeah.
I still think they're a top 7 team in the country.
And Florida and Georgia will work themselves
exactly.
out this weekend, and one of them will be good. Oregon and Utah. Do not overlook Oregon. Oregon and Utah. Both those teams are very, very good one-loss teams with great defenses. We'll see. They both have to play really tough road games this weekend. Utah goes to Washington. Oregon goes to USC. Two really quick questions and comments. Very, very serious. First of all, you mentioned Penn State and Minnesota. They will play in a couple of weeks. They're both undefeated.
Exactly.
Game day, you know, they're trying to, P.J. Fleck's
You're
trying to get game day.
You're talking about the 13th ranked team in the country and the 5th ranked team
yeah.
in the country.
Both undefeated. They will play in 2 weeks. P.J. Fleck and James Franklin, if you had to buy a used car from one of them, which one would you trust the most to sell you a 2012 Honda Passport?
P.J. Fleck.
P.J. Fleck, because he would give me a Carfax vehicle history report with it.
Yeah.
James Franklin would be like, oh, no, this car was never in a flood. Well, let me see the Carfax. He wouldn't have a Carfax.
I don't have it right now. I'd give it to you before you.
My sister took the day off today. She has it.
I think you guys are underselling the snarkiness of P.J. Fleck. Row the boat. Mm. Everything's a cliche, right? Everything's he's very Butch Jones, right? There's a lot of Butch Jones-isms there.
Sir, are you anti-car salesman for college football?
I think there's a lot of flash. I don't know if there's a lot of substance. That's my question. Like, James Franklin mismanages games at the end of the game routinely. Penn State fans will tell you this. He was on the hot seat the year he won the Big Ten title because they came back and, you know, beat Ohio State on two block kicks. You know, PJ Fleck is, again, it appears to be some substance because they're 8-0. They've also played nobody at Minnesota. So I don't know. I think there's more flash, less substance with both PJ Fleck and James Franklin.
About Baylor? Because left on their schedule,
far more substance.
They got Oklahoma and Texas. Kansas is going to be a hard out because Kansas has played a lot better this year.
I can't believe that's
a lot less miles.
I can't believe that's a thing somebody can say.
I know, me either. But they have played better. If they run the table,
their non-conference schedule is really bad. But anybody, if you win a power conference undefeated, you're probably going to get in.
They would have to play either,
even if they don't deserve it,
Texas or Oklahoma twice.
They'd probably have to beat Oklahoma twice. Well, if they beat Oklahoma, who knows who's going to play in the Big 12 title game? Right now, it's actually a really great race. With Oklahoma losing this weekend, it's made for a really great race. Oklahoma's still in the driver's seat, but Baylor, like you said, they get Texas and Oklahoma at home later in the year. My follow-up, additionally, is, and it's not directed at you personally, Derek, but Clemson, like, the idea that Clemson keeps winning by 50 points and falling down the rankings is comical to me, not because like it's right or wrong, but because we are basically serving it up to Dabo Swinney. The media, the fans, the writers,
Dabo,
all of us.
Dabo should get a better non-conference schedule.
Dabo's got all the motivation he needs.
That's what I'm saying.
Right?
We're serving it up.
Oh, you could be right.
Why in the world would we want to give the team that's won 23 consecutive games, who has the best player in college football, and is the defending champ, who's won two of the last three national titles, why would we want to make them feel disrespected? That's what I'm – I know they struggled against North Carolina. Fine. They've beaten everybody else by 40 points. They beat Florida State by 35. They beat Louisville by 35. Louisville's 5-3. They on the road, they just beat Boston College 59-7. They're not even close against teams. They're crushing people, and they haven't lost in 23 games, and we're just like serving up motivation.
But
you know
how the committee looks at it, and you know how the AP voters look at it. You should not factor in the winning streak to this year. What happened last year should not apply.
No, of course not. No,
to me, I'm not talking about that for the resume.
Ultimately,
I think they still get in. Because even though what you said is true, I think they will take that into account somehow, some way. If they don't lose a game, how can you then leave Clemson out?
How can you leave them out? And if you win, but again, so I always go to 2013 in Florida State. They played nobody. Their schedule was atrocious, one of the worst schedules. Just because you play a bad schedule doesn't make you one of the best teams. That's something we have to – it's really tough to separate that sometimes, but you have to do that. You have – like Florida State won by 42 points a game that year. Literally, you can look it up. They won by 6 touchdowns per game on average in 2013. They won the national title with Jameis Winston in 2013. But they didn't play a very good schedule. Just because you play a bad schedule doesn't mean you're not the best team. You can still be – like Bama has not played – one of the better schedules. In fact, if you look at their strength of schedule, it's 61st in the nation. Ohio State's strength of schedule is 16th. So Ohio State's strength of schedule right now is significantly better than Alabama's. But Alabama's winning by 45 points. Like, it doesn't make them any less good because they've played a bad schedule.
Well,
it makes
them
less proven.
Good thing.
But that's a different thing.
The good thing about this is that every team except Clemson will be able to prove themselves. Penn State got to play an undefeated Minnesota. They got to then play an undefeated Ohio State. Yep. LSU and Alabama play in 2 weeks.
Yep.
So the only team that doesn't have to go through this gauntlet is Clemson.
The toughest game on their schedule might be at South Carolina.
Yeah. So
think about that. Left on the schedule.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So they are, if they don't lose, which I don't think they will, they might end up number one again or number two again at the end of the season. And, I mean, I wouldn't argue it. You know, it is what it is. But eventually Clemson is sitting in a position where, you know what, they know ultimately that they will end up 2 or 3 in the country because all these teams are going to knock each other off, and they're going to fall right at 2.
I mean, Georgia,
because
Florida,
if LSU beat Bama, whoever wins between LSU and Bama game will be number one.
Yep, probably. The reason I bring up the 23-game winning streak is to say why is a team that has clearly been the best team in college football over the last year and a half being so disrespected? Like, they win by 50 points and they fall in the polls. Like, I don't understand That would not happen to any other team. It's happening to Clemson for some reason. I don't know why. And it's like we're just giving Dabo Swinney what he wants, mm-hmm. which is disrespect. He wants to be on the Roy bus.
They're so good in a conference that's so bad, I think they're bored.
I agree. Dabo wants – this is rat poison, right? Like, to be number one?
Yeah, yeah.
This is what Nick Saban calls it, rat poison, to be number one and be praised all year. You know what helps a coach with that? Being, quote-unquote, disrespected all year. And Clemson has been disrespected, quote-unquote, all year. They beat somebody by 35 points and they fall in the rankings. Like that's that. If I'm Dabo, I'm going hell yeah, boys.
Mm-hmm.
Keep bringing on the hatred. I'm gonna spin it in the locker room and motivate everybody.
Yeah, the top four should be Baylor, SMU, Appalachian State,
Minnesota,
and Minnesota.
That let's just go to eight teams this year. Yeah, we'll just expand the playoff
right there. Boom, yeah. In your face.
I just want to see a goat get drunk on television this weekend. If the goat is not the guest picker on game day this weekend, I'm gonna be pissed off.
All right, coming up next, we have seen it happen with Illinois. We have seen it happen with Arizona State. Is it on the verge of happening over on the West End? We'll explain next on Morning Drive. 7:32, welcome back into Morning Drive. ESPN 102.5, The Game. Nick Braden, D-Mace, and Marquise with you here on this Tuesday edition of the show. So in college football, we've seen some non-traditional hires, right? Some guys that had some success in the NFL. Illinois hired Lovie Smith. Arizona State has hired Herm Edwards. We've seen Lovie knock off Wisconsin as a 30-point dog. Herm Edwards has knocked off Michigan State this year. So we're seeing some of these guys have some success. Well, could that very well be happening over on the West End? According to ESPN's Adam Rittenberg, he is reporting that Jeff Fisher, and here's the direct quote from Adam Rittenberg, "I am told former Tennessee Titans coach Jeff Fisher is a potential target for Vanderbilt. Fisher remains popular in Nashville, and new Vanderbilt AD Malcolm Turner wouldn't hesitate to make a non-traditional hire." So what do we make of this? And my first reaction was it would never work because Vanderbilt only plays 12 games a year.
You're bad.
Well, no, you could be 6-6,
but you can't be 7-9.
But 6-6 would be a really good season for Vanderbilt.
They would sign up for it all day. But seriously, would it work?
I don't know if it would work as far as like, can you do better than Derek Mason or James? You certainly can't do better than James Franklin. Can you do better than Derek Mason from a wins and losses standpoint? Maybe so. Does that come along with more financial commitment from the institution? That's the biggest question for me. If you're Jeff Fisher, why would you want the job? Well, you live in Nashville. If you just are that desperate to get back into coaching, there's a lot worse ways to do it than at a prestigious academic institution in the SEC. There's a lot to like about it. You make a big paycheck at Vanderbilt. We know that. So there's reasons to like, if you're just that desperate, sure. I don't know why Jeff Fisher is guaranteed to be better than Derek Mason.
You're right.
Like, when's the last time Jeff Fisher put together a recruiting class?
It's been a long time.
So, I mean, Derek Mason has all those relationships. I don't know why you think Jeff Fisher automatically fixes the problems that are – like, is he a better schematic coach than Derek Mason? Probably. He's an NFL coach. He's coached for, like
– Well, couldn't you just look
years.
At Arizona State and say, well, if Herm Edwards could do that in that conference, can Jeff Fisher get us 6-7 wins here?
That conference
Very
is different.
Jobs.
Yeah, Arizona State probably put more resources.
Arizona State competes for Pac-12
exactly.
championships.
They put more resources toward – you know, their athletics. Here's the thing. If you're going to say, you know what, we're moving on from Coach Mason, we want someone else in here, then if I am a coach, the first question I'm asking is, okay, you fired Coach Mason, you're hiring me, what's different? Are you going to give me more than what you've given? And I'm not talking about pay. I'm talking about support. Are you going to give me more support than you have Derek Mason? And then if they say, yeah, my thing is, well, why did you fire Derek Mason? Like, that's my whole thing.
Why did you give that to him?
Yeah, why didn't you give that to him?
Right.
You know, he was there 6 years. He's been wanting it.
Well,
why didn't you give it to him?
Here's the simple answer. He wasn't my hire.
No, you can say
that. And look at Malcolm Turner. What did he do? He got rid of a college guy for a pro guy. He brought in Jerry Stackhouse to replace Bryce Drew, NBA guy. Jeff Fisher, NFL guy. There could be a pattern.
The pattern for his argument about Turner going non-traditional, totally valid. Uh-huh. That's 100% valid.
But my thing is, again, like if you didn't do it for him, why do I think you're going to do it for me? I need some insurance.
Well, you play for the guy.
Yeah.
Do you think he could do it?
No, I think Jeff is a good coach. I really do.
Does his skill set, all the positives of Jeff Fisher, does that translate to 18 to 22-year-olds and in people's living rooms?
That'd be the thing.
Is he that kind of guy that can go in there and sell?
No, because you look at Herm, and if you've watched Herm,
it's all
he
energy.
Can walk into a living room because his energy is so high, and it's like it's infectious. He gets you, and I'm not saying that Jeff is not like that, but I think Jeff is a little bit more subdued. He's a little bit more relaxed and
To Vanderbilt.
Yeah, I don't know if he can, you know, can he get that energy up?
Hey, Mom, good to meet you.
You know, maybe he can't. I don't know. But if you put him on the sidelines, I think he'd do a great job. I think he's a good X's and O's guy. He knows football. He'll bring in guys that knows football as well. But again, it's not about that. It's about, how can you convince me that it's going to be any different for me than it was Derek Mason? Because you can tell me it's different, but the guys that are stroking the checks, how are you going to convince them? Because I'm sure you've been trying to convince them, and they haven't budged. They haven't budged in 20 years. Even when they were winning games with Franklin, they really didn't budge.
All the reports are that there will be some budging at some point. I mean, that's just all reports. That's all empty promises at this point. We don't know, to your point. Like, now, again, the other question is just, this is the other thing that I've learned in covering college football coaches in general. You just never know what makes a guy tick.
Exactly.
Gary Anderson leaves Wisconsin, a really good job, to go to Oregon State. What? What the hell is that about? Like, Oregon State is a far worse job than Wisconsin. Why did he do it? Well, his family loves the West Coast and he wants to leave. Nobody else in their right mind would leave Wisconsin for Oregon State. Look at Joe Moorhead. He's at Mississippi State right now, and there's rumors that he wants the Rutgers job. Why would anyone leave the SEC to go coach at freaking Rutgers? Mm-hmm. Well, because he's from Pennsylvania, he's from the Northeast, and his family's from up there. You just don't know what makes – he doesn't like the SEC pressure cooker, whatever. You don't know what makes a guy tick. And if Jeff Fisher, what makes him tick right now is just he has to be on a sideline – Then if that's all that it is, then Vanderbilt is there's a lot worse place. Mac Brown's back in North Carolina. You know, Herm is different. I think North Carolina and Arizona State, they actually have room to win games in those conferences. I don't think Vandy has a lot of space to win games. They need support. But if you're Jeff Fisher, you're going to make $3 million to go coach Vandy with no pressure?
Well, what's the pressure for him to win? If you're Jeff Fisher and you want to get back on the sideline and you covet the USC job as a USC guy, you got to realize Urban Meyer is going to get first crack at that job. So if you're Jeff Fisher and I really want to coach, what's the second possibility? Now, I'm not trying to compare Vanderbilt to USC, but the guy lives in Nashville. He'd be able to fulfill that itch.
No, I think you're absolutely right. I think the only two places that make sense are those two, and I would not hire him at USC.
No, I wouldn't either.
I just don't think he's...
Not if Urban's available.
Yeah, I'm willing to bet you they already know if Urban wants the job or not. They are, Reggie Bush and Matt Leinart are sitting on set with him every day for 6 hours. They know if Urban Meyer wants the job or not. I think it's a foregone conclusion he's going to be the head coach at USC. But that's just, I mean, I said that the day he resigned from Ohio State, so I'm not going to move off that. But this is what, like, not many people want Jeff Fisher. I don't think there is another option for Jeff Fisher. Vanderbilt, again, if you're that desperate to coach, you could do a lot worse if you're Vanderbilt than Jeff Fisher. And if you're Jeff Fisher, you get a job in the SEC in your hometown. Like, there is a lot of reasons why it makes sense. It may not equal winning. It may equal 4-8 every year.
Yeah, I think he would do a good job. I really do. But, you know, he would have to, with limited resources, he would have to then, you know, whatever resources they give him, he would have to stretch it. You know, he would have to, you know, figure out who's going to be my coordinators, you know, and then kind of go from there. But putting him on a sideline, I think he'd do a good job. I think the team would, you know, they would win games, but how many games would they win? I mean, Vandy's going to get into this cycle that they're going to be hiring, because to me, if you hire Jeff Fisher, if Jeff Fisher wins 7 games 2 years in a row, he's gone. He is gone.
Where would he go? Like, NFL job?
NFL job. He's gone.
You think he can rebuild his stock that quickly?
If he wins 7-8 games at Vandy, yes.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
But the reality is Vanderbilt is a stepping stone job. So you can't not take Jeff Fisher in fear of him succeeding and leaving in 2 years.
I get what you're saying, but this all over again, over again, over again. And it's not like Vandy, like, I don't know what –
Well, Vandy would have to accept that because that's what their program is. Well,
yeah, it's kind of like the Western Kentucky of the SEC. It's like, I'm going to take this job.
No, Western Kentucky wins games in its conference.
No, what I'm saying, it's like a stepping stone. It's I'm going to take the job, I'm going to do good, and then I'm going to move on somewhere
else. If you're James Franklin and you want to win national titles, you're not going to stay at Vandy.
Exactly.
The bottom line.
If I win seven games at Vandy, I am, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, if I could do this again, then I can segue this into another job.
100%. But again, it goes back to what makes you tick. And if what Jeff Fisher wants to do is fish every day in Nashville for the rest of his life, and oh, by the way, coaching football by day, you know, then coaching Vandy, like, he may not want to go to another place. I'm not saying that's what it is. I'm just saying you don't know what's in his motivation.
But if you're Malcolm Turner, think about it this way, too. You hire Jerry Stackhouse. You can't operate under the fear that, hey, Jerry Stackhouse might do really good things, and then when 77-year-old Roy Williams says, I've had enough, he bolts to North Carolina to coach for his alma mater.
That's already written in stone that that's going to happen.
Of course.
If he's good here, he's going to go to North Carolina.
Jeff will get tired of the bureaucracy of Vandy, and you know, he'd get tired of just not being able to get the guys.
There's a lot of politicking that goes into being a college coach.
I think he would get tired of that. I think he would be like, you know what,
I've had enough.
Two or three years, I've had enough. You know, I've got enough money. I can live in Nashville and do things from here. But I can't continue to do this job. I think he would get tired of doing a job here.
If you hire someone like a Derek Mason, a coordinator who's taking his first head coaching job, there's pressure for that person to succeed. Mm-hmm. If you hire a guy who's coached 20 years in the NFL, there's not a lot of pressure for Jeff Fisher.
I think the pressure for Fisher would be himself winning.
Exactly.
Turning the program around. And if he can't turn it around, I think he would get frustrated. And be like, I can't. They're not helping me. I'm done.
You also will work tons more hours in college than you do the NFL, because recruiting is 365, 12 months a year. You in the off season, you're grinding every day to recruit, and in the NFL, that ain't the way it works. You get away from the game. You spend time with your family. Even during the season, you have to recruit in college football. You're recruiting constantly every day. Text messages, DMs, Snapchats, whatever. Constant. And in the NFL, you do it once a year, you make your draft, you sign some free agents, and you move on, and then you go to battle, and you coach football. So I don't know, what makes Jeff Fisher tick? What does he want? How badly does he want to coach? Also, let's make sure we acknowledge that Vanderbilt still currently has a football coach that has gotten them to bowl games.
Yeah, and he'll be joining us tomorrow.
So I think it's a little premature. Like, I would stick it out with Derek Mason over Jeff Fisher, personally.
Okay. Predators start up a homestand against the Blackhawks tonight. We'll get to that on the other side, as well as some big news that affects the Predators in the Central Division. That came down yesterday. But right now, your chance to win a pair of tickets to see Nashville SC take on Indy 11 at First Tennessee Park for the Eastern Conference semifinal of the USL playoffs this Saturday. Just be caller 5 right now, 615-737-1025. Back after this here on Morning Drive. Predators and the Blackhawks tonight, 7 o'clock puck drop here on 102.5 The Game. Pre-game at 6. We'll get to all things Preds in a second, including right now one of the coolest things that this show, this station, has ever given away.
Nay, the universe. ESPN 102.5 The Game Nashville is sending one lucky listener and a guest to Dallas with the Winter Classic Celebration Flyaway starting Monday, November 4th. Listen for the cue to call in and qualify for a chance to win the grand prize, which includes, get this, boys, round-trip airfare,
woohoo,
hotel accommodations.
Oh, yeah.
Those are two big ones right there.
Huge.
A pair of tickets to see Skinnerd at the American Airlines Center on New Year's Eve.
Skinnerd?
Hello, Skinnerd.
Oh, Skinnerd?
Leonard Skinnerd.
Oh.
At the American Airlines Center on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, that's your boy. Yeah.
It's a band. A pair of tickets to the Hockey Winter Classic as the Preds take on the Dallas Stars at the Cotton Bowl Stadium on Wednesday, January 1st. So again, round trip airfare, hotel accommodations, a pair of tickets to see Skinnerd at the American Airlines Center on New Year's Eve the night before, and then you get to go to the game the following day. You're right, Nick. It is one of the coolest things we've ever done. Winner will be announced on Friday, November 15th. Prizes courtesy of Outback Concerts. For more details, visit thegamenashville.com. I believe that starts Monday, November 4th. Listen in for your cues to qualify. Right. So start qualifying on Monday, and you get to see Skinnerd.
Skinnerd, my boy. That's my boy.
That's your boy.
Yeah, Skinnerd.
Yeah, it's a group.
Dude, that's that.
No, I'm just saying.
That's a hell of a prize pack, boys.
One of the guys, that's my dude. They're my dudes.
Yeah.
One of them?
Yeah, one of them.
Translation to that giveaway, that read that Braden just did, basically, we are going to treat you to a better trip than the station treated us to SEC Media Days. We are taking care of our audience more than our own individual talent. That's how much we care about you, the listener.
No comment.
There you go.
You know what?
I plead the fifth on that one.
Yeah, I'm with my
I plead the fifth. I'm with my dog right here. Riding and dying together. You know what?
Dying.
Give me some.
Because we're not. Hey, look, the reality is we're nothing without the audience.
Exactly.
Dying is the key word.
Speaking.
That is one of the coolest things,
yeah,
man. That is a great
kudos,
trip.
Kudos.
That's a great trip.
So if you're a Preds fan, speaking of dying, and you never root for anybody to get hurt, but if you're a Predators fan, this is good news. The St. Louis Blues yesterday dealt some breaking news. Vladimir Tarasenko, who certainly had a great postseason last year, is going to have surgery on his left shoulder. He'll be reevaluated in 5 months, so a big blow to the Blues in the Central, which obviously would certainly help the chances of the Predators who play the Blackhawks tonight.
Yeah.
By the way, huge
injury news there, no question about it. By the way, Philip Forsberg was, I believe Adam Vingan said cheeky at practice yesterday, which Tuesday. So it means
cheeky.
It's Vingan. You know how he is.
Vingan. What does cheeky mean?
It means that
good
he's,
mood.
It means that he's in a good mood and he's ready to go and he's waiting on clearance from the coaching staff.
Is that what cheeky means?
It's how I read it.
You've never heard the phrase
cheeky? Cheeky?
No, I've never.
You don't
heard
remember
cheeky.
Mike Myers on the SNL skit?
Cheeky.
No, I don't.
You a little cheeky?
No, I
cheeky
don't.
Monkey. Were you looking at my bum? Bum looker. Yes, you were bum looker. Cheeky monkey.
Cheeky monkey.
Where are you going to get an SNL Mike Myers reference? I think not.
Well, now I know what it means.
Derek, we are two wild and crazy guys.
Yes.
Yes, y'all are.
But seriously, though, good news. Duchesne back on the second line practicing yesterday. Mm-hmm. Forsberg was kind of off on doing some rushes on the side.
Cheeky.
I think Duchesne back tonight, Forsberg back Thursday. Fair guess.
That's possible. I could see Forsberg back tonight, too. So
okay.
We shall see.
Yeah.
Can I let you know what I think?
They're on a three-game win streak, so, you know, that's good for
can't
the
can't believe you've never heard cheeky.
No, I
can't believe that.
Heard cheeky, man.
Cheeky monkey.
I've never heard of cheeky.
What's the? Is that
I heard of Maurice Cheeks.
That's not the one where he's in the bathtub, right?
That is it. Yes.
I've heard of Cheek
with Danny DeVito.
They're
funny. Sitting in the bathtub together, like you and Marcus.
Oh, he's got the hairy chest. You don't get at my bum.
That was crazy.
You've never seen that skit?
I've never seen it.
We got to play it for
you.
So
did you get the reference to Steve Martin that I made about the wild and crazy guy?
Oh, yeah. Obviously, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
so you get that. All right.
Yeah, that Steve happened Martin. In the 70s. Yeah. That was like D-Mace's
okay,
wheelhouse.
I don't know.
That was my heyday. That was my heyday, man.
Back when Derek was like in his 40s. Back in the 70s. All right, so Predators have won three in a row. Blackhawks have snapped a four-game losing streak. And I think a lot of people going into this year thought Chicago was going to be better. Is it still a rivalry? And I know it, the whole Pred Hawk thing, but does it feel the same when they're as bad as they are?
Well, I don't know what Chicago is going to be. I mean, we thought the demise of Chicago. We sort of wrote the demise of Chicago like almost like a year ago, 18 months ago. We wrote the demise of the Chicago Blackhawks, right? Salary cap purgatory, all these big names on big contracts, and they can't survive. Well, they've moved some pieces around. They've gotten a little younger, and then they sort of surged last year at the end of the year a little bit. It's kind of surprising everybody. And so I think when they came into the season, there was sort of a little bit of this cautious optimism for them and their fans. It hasn't gone as planned, but I am not excited. I am interested to get a first look at them tonight. I think that's what's interesting. And sort of it doesn't matter when these two play. You sort of throw out the record. So the outcome, the game itself is sort of secondary. It's a separate conversation. And what are the Chicago Blackhawks going to be this year? I think that remains to be seen.
I think they hate each other, so that'll always make for a good game.
That's true.
So,
also, yesterday, Roman Josi named the second star in the NHL for last week. So if I'm Roman Josi and I'm still seeking a contract and I keep racking up these awards and these accolades, I keep inching closer to $10 million a year, at least in my mind.
I don't know how. Man, this is weird. It's crazy. It's weird. It's... You know, it's everything in all things with Roman Josi.
That's deep.
because, you know, the reasons you didn't choose to sign him or you guys couldn't work out a deal at the beginning of the season or right before the season. You know, it is what it is. But as the season has gone, and I know, you know, we're only, you know, 8 games into the season, somewhere around there. He is slowly making a case. 9 games into the, well, 11 for the Preds. He's slowly just making a case for, you know, you should have signed me at the beginning of the season. He's sort of doing, I think, it's the equivalent sort of to Joe Flacco, that you wanted to work on a deal, but you after a while you was like, you know what, nope, I don't want to. I'm a bet on myself. And as the season goes on, either I'm going to, you know, cost myself a lot of money or I'm going to earn myself a lot of money.
So what you're saying is the Preds are going to have to overpay Roman Josi, but we're going to get a Stanley Cup out of the deal.
Yeah, I hope so.
I hope so. I'll take it. Sign me up right now. Give him $15 million.
He's doing, the more and more he's showing that he's a dominant force, the more money you're going to have to pay this guy. Because if I'm him and his agent,
Does it ever get to the point where you cut off communication? You say, you know what, we're going to wait till the spring.
I mean, you always listen.
I don't think they are that type of this bunch of, you know, the player and the agent. The player's not going to think about it. He's like, you know, until they get something on paper, then I'm just going to play.
I guarantee you, though, when he sees his agent call.
Oh yeah,
his ears perk up a little bit. He's like, okay, do they got a deal done or not?
But I think it does get to a point where, you know what, if we're 30 games in and my client continues to play this way, then don't call me unless you got something serious.
Every day that goes by, Roman Josi has more leverage.
Exactly.
Every day that goes by, he's going to gain leverage because you're closer and closer to a time where you don't control him anymore.
Yeah.
Which means he has more leverage
because
every day
that
goes by.
Because if you don't pay him, someone else will.
Well, that is for sure. So, also, want to remind everybody, Preds fans, Smashville Live returns this Wednesday, hosted by me, live from Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House in East Nashville, located at 1003 Russell Street from 7 to 8. That's right there on 10th and Russell. This week's guests are Nashville Predators Ryan Johansson and Colton Sissons.
Woo-hoo.
The first 50 people will have an opportunity to get an autograph or picture. Fans can register to win 2 tickets to an upcoming Predators home game. Smashville Live is brought to you, of course, by the wonderful sponsors, New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine. Again, that's Joey and Colton at Boomba's Tap House on Wednesday. Coming up tomorrow night, 7 o'clock.
Joey, you gotta want to meet these guys.
I'm not. I will not call them. I will not call him Joey during the show.
Give you $10 if you do.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I give you.
But
seven.
I get to rip you on Thursday. I give you seven.
Oh, so you'll give me ten? No.
I said seven.
10 each.
Nope,
why seven? What do you have to? What are you going to go break a 10?
No, we're bargaining.
I give you six.
$3.50.
Yeah,
there's no bargaining
this
here.
This is a bargain.
You're going to give me $10, and you're
going to
give me $10.
Tell me what I'm going to. $7.50. That's
$3.50. Folks, this is how you stay rich.
You have quarters? Like you have them in the range? Just a couple quarters in the range?
$7.75.
$10 for you, Bob.
$7.77. Just to keep it all
for
seven.
I'll give you $10 if you call him Joey and we have the tape to prove it.
I'm giving you $7.77.
I want $20 between the two of you somehow.
Well, Nick, you can give up the
I
rest
will
of
cut.
It.
Yes.
I'm giving up $7.77.
Well, I'm giving up $3.50.
Mr. Bruno over there, settle down.
you know if I'm going to give him
Mr. Bruno.
If I'm going to give him $10, I got to go to the wife to get the money. Cuz you know I don't have cash.
And when you ask and she says what's it for and you're like I made Braden use a nickname on the radio.
She's going to punch me in the face.
She's not going to give it to
exactly.
You.
Exactly.
Right where Taylor Lewan got punched.
Yes.
In the stomach.
Coming up next, NFL trade deadline today at 3:00. Will John Robinson make a move? Who goes? Who stays? We'll talk about it next on Morning Drive.